Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sustainable Finance Podcast. My name is Paul Ellis, and I'm your host for these programs about developments in this fast-growing industry. The world is not on track to reach the UN Sustainable Development Goals by 2030, and will not achieve the goals without engaging small and mid-sized business and social enterprises. According to the United Nations 2024 Financing for the Sustainable Development Report, the SDG financing and investment gaps are between $2.5 trillion and $4 trillion annually. Michelle Bongiovanni launched Heal Our World in 2012. This 1.3 million member global community and marketplace is designed to ignite systemic change by unleashing the transformative power of small and medium-sized private sector enterprises to close the financing and investment gaps of the UN SDGs. This includes women-owned sustainable and impact investment firms, companies whose products align with the values of sustainability-minded consumers, and corporate partners whose value chains and business models include renewable energy systems, equal employment opportunity, and superior creditworthiness compared to the competition. Hello, Michelle, and welcome to the Sustainable Finance Podcast.
Hi, Paul. Thank you so much for having me today.
It's a pleasure to finally have this conversation with you. And we're going to start right away by reminding our viewers that you left senior management positions in the corporate world to launch Heal Our World as a social impact company. What motivated you to make these choices?
Well, it's an interesting question, Paul. You know, so I think there were these defining moments in my life. I was involved way back when with the first World Trade Center bombing and worked on a crisis prevention and helping the small businesses then that were actually within the Trade Center and affected, not just large corporates. From there, you know, I went to Merrill and was involved in 2008 with a market crash and saw what went on there, was horrified for homeowners at the time. And it was a frightening time for me. I then moved from there into Dun & Bradstreet, where I did a lot of work in understanding strategy around small and mid-sized enterprises, what made them tick, how we could better support them in their financial realm, and sort of what were some of those trends. And my belief was that if we were seeing public companies outperform the market that were committed to CSR and these values, then we should see the same with private companies. And so I convinced my senior leadership team at Dun & Bradstreet, including Sarah Matthew, who was then the CEO, that I wanted to move on with her support and create a business that actually could, if possibly identifying that correlation of stronger credit with CSR at the time, sustainability, we could then drive capital to those businesses. And so I had a lot of support from her directly, which was wonderful. And that's how I began the journey.
Okay. Now, Heal Our World is a sustainability-focused private company using big data, AI, and fintech innovation to ignite systemic change of what kind in the global economy?
So we have a very strong belief that some of the key issues that are affecting, aside from obviously the current political environment, sustainable SMEs in capturing investment, have a lot to do with the notion, misconception, that these companies underperform, which is absolutely not the case, as we know. And so for me, you know, what I really wanted to do was leverage big data and that credit correlational work. So when we did the studies with Dun & Bradstreet, we did see that these companies were outperforming on average 3 times more creditworthy than D&B's average business. And so that finding and the data, which is the underpinning of all of it, was not data for data's sake, but instead we wanted to leverage it to power the tools that could actually bring capital to those small businesses that were committed to sustainability by proving that it was a good business proposition. And in addition to that, leveraging some cutting edge fintech solutions to reward those sustainable businesses through a marketplace and other tools where they could be rewarded for their sustainable behaviors.
Okay, so with the support of Dun & Bradstreet and a lot of small to mid-sized companies that you were building relationships with, you started this process. Now, tell our Sustainable Finance Podcast followers about your core products. You have two of them, as in my experience. One for corporations, investors, and governments, and the other for small to mid-sized businesses and consumers.
That's right, Paul. So if you think about all the people who are interested parties in this type of sustainability data on private companies with that credit kind of correlational work, you have everything from sort of that B2B to B2B2C. So if we start on the B2B side, we leverage the data along with a geoanalytics platform that governments and large corporates can use to really understand what their value chains look like, how they can grow with sustainable businesses, what do those risks look like? So that product is a geoanalytics SaaS-based platform for that audience. And then what we've done is also leverage the data to power something that we're creating right now. We have a global marketplace with our 1.3 million businesses, and we look to scale that through some very strategic partnerships and AI to about 100 million global businesses.
Wow.
So yes, we've done the work. We know that we can get to that, and more are proliferating every day, particularly with Gen Z and the young people that want to start these kinds of businesses and work for these kinds of businesses. So that product is, we call it the Sustainability Super App. And within that app, literally we have, the global marketplace. So you can buy with your values as a consumer or a small business. You can learn about those small businesses and the great things that they're doing in their local areas. Many of them are contributing to so many things locally and their communities and making the world just a better place, in addition to whatever products they sell. We wanted to give a voice to those businesses. So that product is there. And within that app, you also will be able to leverage a card with rewards. You'll have a carbon calculator that we're working on with MasterCard and Priceless Planet inbuilt so that you can understand your carbon footprint as a consumer and or a small business and actually do something about that.
Uh-huh. Okay, that's terrific. So you're really creating products and building on systems that are allowing small to mid-sized enterprises to track things like their carbon footprint, et cetera. That's very exciting. Now, let's talk about the Impact Disclosure Task Force, because that's a group that has that is in this work as well and has created a new SME subgroup, which you are chairing. What can you tell us about your commitment to support increased awareness of fintech-enabled and sustainability-focused private SME firms?
Well, to me, it's a great honor to be part of something like this, Paul. It was a little over a year ago I met Arsalan Modafar, who is leads J.P. Morgan's development bank, and was extremely aligned with our thinking. And he launched, along with Natixis, who they both co-chair, the main Impact Disclosure Task Force, which is a consortium of 80-plus members of global banks and others, financial institutions, that are really committed to leveraging the United Nations SDG framework to mobilize billions of dollars, if not trillions, in capital for sustainability. And they've developed their own KPIs and methodologies that their investors actually like. They feel that they're adding a lot of rigor to the analysis of those transactions. So because I was so focused on SMEs, you know, I went to the task force and said, this is all great, but 90% of the world's businesses are small and mid-sized enterprises. How are we supporting them with this framework? We, in our data, also have a matching to the UN SDGs. We're firm supporters of the SDGs and believe that that is a framework can be extremely powerful. We don't need another framework. There are many, right? But the UN SDGs applies to every area of sustainability. So that being said, they asked me if I would lead the subgroup and launch something. And so we did announce this at Climate Week last year. I am very proud to be the co-chair along with Matt Helgelson, who was the former chief sustainability officer of Siemens USA. We are co-chairing this task force, and we're bringing together the voices of corporations, very large corporations, global banks, local banks, thought leaders, investors, impact investors in this space to say, what are the key issues that the space is facing today that's prohibiting the flow of capital? And how do we do something to actually make a change in this system that can drive billions of dollars, if not trillions, is our lofty goal, to sustainably minded SMEs globally. And realizing, you know, what's going on here in the U.S., you know, there are global markets super interested in continuing to pursue this. And I feel like one of the key strategies that we're working on together with the IFC is how do we leverage sustainable bonds, right? And bring in that kind of capital markets capital alongside development banks and then local banks to get that money into the hands of small businesses that are committed and aligned to these values.
Michelle, you just mentioned the IFC. That's the International Finance Corporation, I assume that you're referring to. Tell us how you are engaging with them. That's a global, very dynamic organization that is working hard over time to pump a lot of capital into sustainable finance. So talk about the relationship there.
So I really enjoyed that. I was very fortunate to have been introduced by Ajay Banga, who I knew when he was at MasterCard, thanks to Paul Pullman, one of my mentors, into the IFC. And we've been meeting with the IFC talking about how we can leverage our data to power solutions that support the green bonds, the sustainable bonds, all of the ecosystem and wonderful work that the IFC is actually leading. We believe that not only will it take that capital, but that's why we believe this global marketplace platform we've developed can support those SMEs as well within that ecosystem and help consumers and other businesses really understand just what those businesses are doing and their commitment. So whether it's financing needs or growing new business, we have a strategy that can kind of surround that SME and support them.
You know, Michelle, I think a lot of our followers are less aware of the dynamic efforts in the fixed income investment markets that are being made through organizations like IFC and your organization to help support the ongoing funding of these types of issues. What other opportunities do you see for reducing these trillion-dollar gaps that we're having now in funding the SDGs, and what kind of sustainable SME products and services do you think need to be discovered, developed, added to the list that we've already talked about today?
Well, you know, it's interesting, Paul. I've lived this journey, right, as a sustainable woman-owned SME. And we know that diverse and women-owned businesses, forget the sustainability angle, they in the of themselves only get less than 2% of venture capital. The markets are broken. I mean, that's the truth. We see Series A dwindling. And we need to be very, very creative in financial solutions that can counter what's going on in the marketplace today. And I think that to the extent that we can leverage these findings that we have had and we're continuing to do research on, credit correlations of those sustainable businesses, making the market understand that This is just good business, whether it's from a risk perspective or it's from a credit strength perspective. These are the businesses that need to be supported globally in the ecosystems, right? That are part of supply chains and everything else that pump global economies. So I think that we have to be very creative in coming up with new financial blended finance solutions, which I know there are many out there, but we need to leverage that thinking, not just for project finance, but to enable SME finance, because that is where the gaps are for sustainably committed SMEs. They're really difficult to get access to capital.
So the firms that I see on your website include entertainment firms, firms in the fashion industry, regular investment platforms, et cetera. The variety is huge. How are you attracting so many people from so many different sectors of the economy to engage with your firm to support their products and services?
Well, to be honest with you, Paul, what we have done is we've really taken an approach where we want to find the best in breed across all categories, right, of companies and small businesses that are committed to these shared values of planet and people, very simply. And so we've leveraged a lot of thinking in our AI and algorithms to find those businesses globally. Whether it's from sources like certifications and verifications or other sources of information on where to find these businesses. And we've spent a lot of time on the data side thinking through that and also trying to understand what kind of makes those businesses tick and where that comes from. Oftentimes, to be frank, in a small and mid-sized enterprise, it comes from the value of the founder. The values of that founder are what drive the values of the firm. And so we wanted to be very broad in our thinking around putting together a community that we all, conscious consumers, can get behind supporting. Whether it's, as you say, sustainable fashion or entertainment, an architect, right? Professional services. We now have CPAs specializing in this, right? Helping to advise their clients on sustainability. So it's important that this ecosystem be broad in thinking, and that's the way we approach the data to find them and to actually build the marketplace.
Great. So this is an opportunity for our viewers and our followers, including the people in financial services, to go to your website and actually look at the huge breadth of businesses and industries that you're supporting. Michelle, this is such exciting work. We're really looking forward to continuing to follow you and your firm. And we want to know where online our followers of the Sustainable Finance Podcast, regardless of what industry they are in, can go to learn more about Heal Our World. And how can they get in touch with you with questions about the topics that we've discussed in today's episode?
Well, thank you so much, Paul. And we would love to hear from your viewers and engage. And they may have ideas for us. We need to build a collaborative ecosystem, and this is the way to do it. Essentially, if you go to, on the business side, hrwgroup.com, you can see all of the different products and services that we have. And then the marketplace itself is healourworld.com, H-E-A-L, the letter R, world.com. And that's where our global marketplace is. And we'd love for people to sign up and engage. If anyone would like to reach out to me directly, it's Michelle with one L, M-I-C-H-E-L-E, at healourworld.com. And I'd love to hear from your viewers.
Great. Well, listen, if you have links that you would like us to attach to this program, we'll be glad to do that. And I want to thank you again, Michelle Bongiovanni of Heal Our World, for joining me today. And followers of the Sustainable Finance Podcast can join me again next week for another episode. I'm your host, Paul Ellis, and this is the Sustainable Finance Podcast.